Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, and for the next 6 weeks, we're going to be journeying through chapter 1 in the Gospel of Luke. This morning, we're beginning a sermon series called Surviving the Holidays. And you might think, the holidays, wow, I can't believe they're already here. I'll just tell you on the radio, if you've listened to it much this week, everybody's already speaking about it, talking about it, 8 weeks to Christmas. But before that, we've got Thanksgiving. It's not really a holiday, but it's busy. Black Friday after that. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. A lot going on. And so we're going to explore that. What is the good news for us as the holiday season approaches us and we're in the midst of it? In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as priest before God. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of incense to come, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John." The word of God for the people of God. Like I said, I heard on the radio this morning, or not this morning, but this week, that we are 8 weeks away from Christmas, and I could not help but think about just how little time that is. And I imagine some of you, when you hear that news, you're really excited about it, right? And others, you're dreading it already. In fact, there was a survey that came out this week that said 43% of respondents would not mind skipping Christmas. Now, I'm not one of those 43. I love everything about Christmas. I like decorating my house. I like the Christmas music. I like that it's already being played on radio stations. So I enjoy all of it. And most especially everything that happens in the life of the church. But I know not everybody feels that way. And I know there's a lot of reasons that go into why the holidays are extremely hard on people. It reminds me of a Carolina country magazine that asked readers to send in their memorable Christmas stories. And one of the most memorable was from a woman named Ravonda. And she was raised by her great-grandmother in severe poverty. And she always wondered why she never got any Christmas gifts. And she thought, well, maybe if I'll be a little better, maybe if I'll be good, that this year I could get a Christmas gift. And no matter how hard she tried, nothing ever came. And so she began to hate the holidays because it was a reminder of that. And she told a coworker of hers this story one day at work, and that coworker challenged her and encouraged her, put a stocking out on your porch. And so she did. She stuck a stocking out on her porch and listened through the night and didn't really want to go to sleep. She wanted to see if anything would happen. And she finally dozed off and went out in the morning expecting nothing to have happened. And as she opened up the door and walked out on her porch, it was not only was a stocking full, but her porch was covered with gift after gift after gift. And she said that renewed her life. When you hear that story, it's kind of a mixture of emotion, right? In one moment, it is amazing, but it's also kind of tragic. And in one moment, it is very hopeful and encouraging, and in another way, it's kind of discouraging. And I think that's how the holidays are for a lot of people. It's a mixture of emotions. Some of them good, some of them bad, and as the calendar flips to November and we get into all the holidays, we need to be honest about that. that even as we celebrate a season with family and friends and church liturgies and songs and get-togethers and parties, and there's also another side of it, and we're reminded of loved ones that we've lost. We're reminded of friends and family that maybe have moved so far away that we can't celebrate with them in the same way that we once did. Or we're reminded of relationships that were once strong and vibrant and now they're broken and in need of healing. And so we struggle even in the midst of this time that's supposed to be joyful. You see, for many, the holidays are a time when they are forced to fake being joyful, spend money they don't have, deal with crowds they don't like, spend time with family they barely know, and pretend their life is perfect when it's not. But I want you to know this morning, that doesn't have to be your holiday season. That doesn't have to be your Thanksgiving. That doesn't have to be what your Christmas is like, because there is hope in the midst of that. And that hope comes in Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to explore. As we talk about surviving the holidays, we are going to find that at the center of finding renewal and hope in life for every occasion, it all comes back to Jesus Christ. Everything comes back to Jesus Christ. So I want to highlight a few things for you from this passage that I believe are critical as we focus this morning on healing from loss. Because rather than the holiday season being a time to feel the loss and feel the pain and feel the hurt, it can be a time for you to experience a supernatural healing and experience the power of Christ in a new way that maybe you thought was never possible before. And so let's explore it together. Healing from loss begins with the revelation that even the righteous experience it. Healing from loss begins with the revelation that even the righteous experience it. You see, this side of heaven, we are all going to experience loss. Every one of us. It might be in the form of losing a loved one. It might be in the form of losing the job that we loved. It might be in a broken friendship, a broken relationship. We might lose neighbors that we loved. You know, Missy and I recently moved, and we had some good neighbors that were beside us, and we were really worried about how Julianne would respond, because her neighbor, her little best friend, Antonia, and her were born on the same day. And all they had ever known, each of them, was living side by side. Now, I'm pleased to let you know that Julianne is loving the new neighbors and has made new friends. But that loss, that kind of loss, even children experience it. And we'll all be forced to face these challenges one way or the other. They're all unique. And the way we face them is unique. There's no right way to deal with grief. There are some wrong ways if we ignore it, if we bury it, if we don't bring Christ into it. And the enemy's going to try and make you feel like whatever loss you're experiencing, it's all your fault. Think about the context of this passage. Here you have Zechariah and Elizabeth long to have children, and she's barren, incapable of having children. In their day, the common thought was, that's because they sinned. That's because they must have done something so bad that God said, I'm not going to let you have any children. And yet here he is going into the temple and serving as a priest in one of the most incredible ways that you only get to do once in your lifetime, if you're blessed enough to be given that opportunity. So they're experiencing the loss of a family that they long to have. They're also experiencing a loss from even hearing from God. It had been 400 years since God had spoken. Your Old Testament ends with Malachi and a prophecy about Christ. 400 years later, Gabriel appears. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like it when I don't hear from God when I pray daily. I don't like it if I don't hear from God if a week of prayer, a month of prayer, a year of prayer, a decade of prayer, a century, a generation, four generations since they heard from God. Where would your faith be if that was you? If for four generations no one in your family had truly heard anything from God. And yet, what are we told about Zechariah? What are we told about Elizabeth? They walked blamelessly before the Lord. They trusted Him. They obeyed. They were considered to be two righteous people. We even see it in their names. Right? Zechariah means Jehovah has remembered. Elizabeth means God is my oath. And here they are, two righteous people experiencing loss. So what does this mean for us? If loss is something that is experienced by both good and bad alike, then the way we approach healing needs to change. And there's some things we need to consider. It means, first and foremost, that you're not alone. Whatever loss you're struggling with this morning, you're not alone in dealing with it. There's people who have come before you that have experienced that kind of loss. There's people who are going to come behind you that are going to experience that kind of loss. You are not alone. It also means that it's not your fault. There's not much that would make me get so upset that I might have to yell at somebody. But when I hear people of faith tell other people of faith that the reason they're suffering is because they don't have enough faith, that makes me jump all over people. Because if we think like that, then we have to assume that Jesus didn't have enough faith in the Garden of Gethsemane. That as He prayed, could this cup pass? It must have been because He didn't have enough faith. Or Paul, when he prayed, Lord, take this thorn from my flesh. And God didn't, must have been because he didn't have enough faith. No, we know that they had enough faith. But their hope didn't fit into God's plans there. And God had a different plan. And both of them happily submitted to God's will. So it means you're not alone. It means it's not your fault. And it also means that God has not abandoned you. Notice Zechariah keeps walking in faith. And then he encounters the angel Gabriel. Because God had not abandoned him. The second thing we see is that healing from loss requires the faith to continue engaging Christ. Loss can make us shut down. Whether it's the loss of a dream or loss of a loved one, it makes us sometimes want to curl up into a little ball and forget the world and hide ourselves away. But notice Zechariah. He keeps pressing on in faith. He keeps serving as a priest. And think about the irony here. He gets chosen to go and light the incense and burn the incense as the people pray in the incense. What does it represent in the Old Testament? The prayers of the people to God. And he's sitting here thinking, here I am lighting this incense for the prayers of all the people, and God doesn't listen to the one deepest prayer I have in my life, to have children. I mean, the irony, but yet here Zechariah is. He goes in faith, and he says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to light it. I'm going to burn this incense, and I'm going to continue to engage my Father in heaven. What about you? Is the loss that you've experienced hardened your heart? Has it made you shut the door and close your ears and maybe stop looking around with eyes to see because you're struggling so badly? I would encourage you, if you want to find true healing from that loss, we have to persevere. To continue to engage. Imagine if Zechariah had thrown in the towel. We would have never heard of him. It wouldn't have been Elizabeth. But yet here he is, being obedient, seeking the Lord. You see, we are tempted when struggling with loss to drift away from God because we are both frustrated and hurt. But when we choose to go to him, what do we find? We find that God is busy at work, that he is already there. He is in our pain, ministering to us, healing us. And then our last thought, healing from loss is a heart issue that is central to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to heal you. He came to heal me. To heal us from the ultimate loss that was created by sin. He came to restore the ultimate broken relationship between us and the Father. Jesus is all about healing us from loss. Here we have Gabriel who appears to Zechariah. Anybody know the last time we saw him in the scriptures? The book of Daniel. I believe it's chapter 9. And what is he speaking about there? The Messiah. Here we find him again, 600 years later, sharing another prophecy. Zechariah kept his faith. Elizabeth kept her faith. What about you this morning? What loss are you experiencing in your life? What do you need to be healed from? How can you experience the good news of Jesus Christ in that area of your life? And what is the cost of carrying it each and every day instead of taking it to Jesus? What is the price? What is it doing to you? Three last brief thoughts to close us out. The good news is here. And because of that, we know that, number one, Christ meets you where you're at. Zechariah was going about his business, serving as a priest, and that's where the angel appeared to him. We often think that God only appears to us in certain ways, and we have to go out into the wilderness or go to a retreat or go to a camp. My friends, Zechariah's doing what he did every day. God meets you where you are. Christ is there, ready to meet you where you are. Secondly, Christ addresses your deepest fears. Zechariah had the same reaction everybody has when they see an angel. Fear. And not just a holy fear, but I imagine if an angel suddenly appeared right here, we'd have a holy fear and we'd probably be scared too. I mean, you know, it would frighten us. But that angel addressed his deepest fear, being lonely, being alone. And that's what Christ does for us. Whatever deep fear that you're holding on to this morning, Christ is ready to address it with you. And thirdly, Christ offers himself as a remedy. That sounds easy, doesn't it? Christ is the answer for everything. The problem is figuring out how. You know, everything that we need was accomplished at the cross. Everything. Forgiveness. Every sin was defeated. The challenge for us is to listen to the Holy Spirit as he shows us how to apply it. To apply that hope, that love and that faith of Christ. To take on his righteousness rather than trying to earn our own salvation. See, Jesus is not only the reason for the season, he's also the solution to your pain. And so as we're going to spend 5 more weeks talking about how to survive the holidays, but the answer begins and ends with Jesus Christ. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, as that hymn says. And let that be your focus. And you'll find the first step into having a completely different kind of holiday experience. Let us pray. Almighty God, we know how hard that is. When the holidays come around, we're reminded of people who aren't there, of gifts that sometimes we don't have money to buy, and of so many worldly things that have nothing to do with you. Help us to remember that you are the key to everything. That if we would but turn our eyes to you, we would find the healing that we desperately long for. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.